Welcome to 30 Minutes Towards Victory. Hi, I'm Greg Marcus. I'm the pastor of Imperial Valley Christian Center. This is our TV program, our TV ministry, our TV outreach, our TV, whatever you want to call it. 30 Minutes Towards Victory. The reason we call it that is because we hope with this program to move you in the direction of experiencing the victory in life that God wants you to have. God wants it to go well with you in life. God wants it to go well with you in life. God wants it to go well with you in life. God so wants it to go well with you in life that He sent, the Bible tells us He sent His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son, to die on the cross, to rise again from the dead so that it could go well with you in life, so that it could go well with you in life. That's what this TV program is all about. That's what we're all about at Imperial Valley Christian Center. Okay, right now we're talking about what is Christianity supposed to do? Christianity is supposed to do something. It's not just supposed to be some kind of intellectual argument. It's not just supposed to be proving the truths of our doctrine. It's not just supposed to be like one professor said. He said, it's not just supposed to be answering questions that nobody's asking. It's not just supposed to be applying human ideas of psychological analysis to situations. It's not just about counseling and somebody pat, oh my boy, it'll all soon be over. It's not just supposed to be about entertainment for 45 minutes on a Sunday morning. Can you see that? No, Christianity is supposed to do something. It's supposed to do something. Well, most Christians think, most American Christians anyway, they think all Christianity is supposed to do is, well, get you to heaven when you die, Greg. That's pretty much all there is to it. When you die, you get to go to heaven. That's what Christianity does. And some, well, no, Christianity is a moral, ethical system, Greg, and it's designed to create better people. And some other people will say, no, Greg, Christianity is all about social action. The great teacher Jesus has taught us to take social action, to help the poor, to help the downtrodden, to help the disenfranchised, the disadvantaged. Hallelujah. And so we're looking at the Bible to see, what is Christianity supposed to do? And what we began to see was that Jesus said that the reason He was sent was, He says, I must preach that in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, He says this, I must preach. Listen, let me say this before I go on. If you miss some of these TV programs and you want to hear the earlier ones so you can see what I'm talking about, because I can't review everything every week, you can watch them on our website. We post them on our website, www.ivychristiancenter.com, www.ivychristiancenter.com. You can go to that website. You can click on the little TV monitor icon thing. You go to the TV programs. We have them in English. We have them in Spanish. You can watch the programs over and over again. We have them in different sizes, and you can just download the audio, make yourself a CD of it if you want, listen to it as many times as you want. But I can't review everything every week. We gotta move on. Can you see that? So if you know, if you want to hear what went before, go to the website. You can hear what went before. Check it out. Hallelujah. You want to hear this message again? Go to the website. Listen to it. You can listen to it as often as you want. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, what are we talking about? What is the purpose of Christianity? I want you to see what was Jesus' purpose. He tells us here in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, He says, at the end of that verse, He says, therefore am I sent. Therefore am I sent. So if we look earlier in the verse, we'll see why Jesus was sent. And He tells us, and He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Why were you sent, Jesus? To preach the kingdom of God. To preach the kingdom of God. To preach the kingdom of God. And then we saw that that was the message which He in fact preached. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, we saw that now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled. The day has arrived. The day is here. Which day? is here. Which day has arrived? What time is fulfilled? Jesus, the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, the kingdom of God is here. That's what Christianity is all about. The kingdom of God being here. And it's not going to be here. It's not coming someday. It came 2,000 years ago, according to Jesus. He said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Where's your hand? Is your hand 2,000 years in the future? Is your hand 50 years in the future? Your hand is right here next to you. You use it to touch things. The kingdom of God was here. It was at hand. The time had been fulfilled. The day had arrived. The day that mankind had been waiting for thousands of years. It had arrived. The time was fulfilled. The kingdom of God was at hand. The kingdom of God, God's reign, God's power, God's will being done on the earth had arrived. The kingdom of God was at hand. Then we saw that his most famous prayer was about the kingdom of God. We saw that he told us to seek first the kingdom of God. We saw that some of his most famous sayings were about the kingdom of God. We saw that when Jesus said that when he casted out demons, that that was the kingdom of God showing up. We saw that he told his disciples to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick amongst those that they were preaching to. He sent them to these cities to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick in those cities. And he told them, when you heal the sick that are therein, say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. In other words, that healing, their healing was a manifestation of the kingdom of God. It was God's reign showing up on the earth. It was God's will being done upon the earth. It was God taking charge upon the earth. It was God's authority reigning, ruling there on the earth when people were healed through the ministry of his disciples. Hallelujah. That was the kingdom of God. What do I want you to see? I want you to see that the kingdom of God is the core, the center of Jesus' ministry, and therefore it needs to be the core and the center of Christianity, and it is what answers the question, what is Christianity supposed to do? What is kingdom of God? The kingdom of God. What is Christianity supposed to do? Jesus said he was sent to preach the kingdom of God. That was the message he preached. That's what he taught his disciples to do. He told them when they healed somebody, tell them the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. Listen, he told his disciples to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to the whole world. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. This is one of those scriptures that, you know, evangelical Christians love. Because, you know, it helps them raise money for missionary activity and evangelistic activity. And so this is a pretty popular scripture among evangelicals. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says this, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And so you hear evangelical preachers, they'll get up and say, yeah, see, we need to preach the gospel. Send us your money so we can preach the gospel to all nations, because then the end will come. Send us some funds so we can send missionaries to all nations, because then the end will come. We'll usher in the end times. Hallelujah. Only they leave out the most important part of that verse. They leave out the most important word in that verse. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. Jesus came preaching the good news of the kingdom. What was that good news of the kingdom? The time is fulfilled, people. The kingdom of God is here. The time is no more waiting. No more waiting. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. God's authority is here. God's rule on the earth is here. God's reigning on the earth is here. The time is fulfilled. No more waiting. 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 Human beings, mankind, they'd been waiting for thousands of years for that day to arrive. Some of them didn't even know the name of that day. They didn't know what it was, but they'd been waiting for it nevertheless for thousands of years. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and he said, "The time is fulfilled. The day is here, people. The kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God is at hand. God's rule, God's authority, God's will being done in the lives of people. It's finally here, people. It's finally here. Hallelujah. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Not stories about Jesus. Stories about Jesus are not the good news of the kingdom that Jesus preached. The Bible plainly tells us what he said, it says, and saying. Hallelujah. The stories about Jesus are not what he told his disciples to preach. He said, it says here in verse 14, and this good news, this gospel of the kingdom, which gospel of the kingdom, Jesus? This one I've been preaching all these years. Haven't you been paying attention, Greg? This gospel that I've been preaching. Didn't you read over there Mark chapter 1 where it says, and I went around preaching the gospel of the kingdom saying the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. That's the good news. That's the good news for mankind. That's the good news for mankind. They don't have to be under poverty anymore. They don't have to be under sickness anymore. They don't have to be under satanic oppression anymore. They don't have to be ruled over by Satan anymore. The time is fulfilled. The day has arrived. The kingdom of God is here. Hallelujah. That was the gospel that's supposed to be preached in all the world. Now, we're talking about what is Christianity supposed to do? What is Christianity supposed to do? And what I want you to see is this, that the message, according to the Bible anyway, I mean, you don't believe the Bible, good. Throw it away. Don't be a hypocrite about it. Take your Bible and throw it away. According to the Bible, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it says the message his disciples were to preach is this gospel of the kingdom. Well, I submit unto you that this gospel of the kingdom ain't been preached for 2,000 years. I submit unto you that for 2,000 years, only here and there has this gospel of the kingdom been preached. I submit unto you that for 2,000 years after those original Christians, they died off, and other Christians for a while, they preached the gospel of the kingdom, and then it began to get watered down and watered down and watered down, so that now for hundreds of years, only here and there, every once in a while, some man will stand up and begin to preach. Some woman will rise up and begin to preach just a little bit of the gospel of the kingdom of God. The good news of the kingdom of God. You know what usually happened to those guys? Religious people went and burned them at the stake. Religious people went and killed them. Religious people went and killed those people. Hallelujah. Because they preferred telling stories. Stories. They don't like preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, all I want you to see, though, is this. All I want you to see is this. You see the centrality of the kingdom of God to what is Christianity supposed to do? That's the message Jesus told his disciples to preach in all the world. Not stories about Jesus. What were they to preach in all the world? This gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom, this gospel, this good news of the availability of God's power to deliver people, of God's power to cause his will to be done in the lives of people, of God's authority to cause people's lives to be the way God designed them to be from the very beginning. So he told his disciples to preach the kingdom of God. He told his disciples to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the whole world. And listen, It's the last, the very last thing that the Bible tells us that Jesus personally, you know, talking face to face with his disciples, the very last thing, according to the Bible, that he talked to them about was, guess what? The kingdom of God. Look here in Acts chapter 1. This is after, Acts chapter 1 is after Jesus rose from the dead. He was crucified, right? He died, he was buried. After 3 days, he rose again. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And then he came and he spoke to his disciples for 40 days, the Bible tells us. Look here in Acts chapter 1, and this is during that period when he's teaching his disciples after he's risen from the dead, after he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both to do and teach, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The last thing that Jesus spoke to his disciples about before he returned to heaven, after he'd risen from the dead, after he had been crucified, after he'd been buried, after he rose from the dead, the very last thing he's talking to his disciples about and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know that the kingdom of God is the message that the apostle Paul preached. What I want you to see, the centrality of the kingdom of God to answering the question, what is Christianity supposed to do? What is Christianity supposed to do? Can you see from all these things that that question has to do with the kingdom of God? That's what Jesus preached. That's what he taught his disciples to preach, the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what he told them they were to preach in all the world. That's the last thing that he talked to them about before he returned to heaven. That's what his most famous prayer is about. Some of his most famous sayings are about the kingdom of God. How many sermons have you heard about the kingdom of God? How many sermons have you heard? It's the center point of Christianity, and nobody's ever heard a sermon about it. What's wrong with that picture? Hallelujah. 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 Listen, the Apostle Paul preached the kingdom of God. Look at Acts chapter 19. In verse 8, he goes into Ephesus, and it says this, and he went into the synagogue there in Ephesus, and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So what did the Apostle Paul preach about? The kingdom of God. What was the Apostle Paul's message? The kingdom of God. That's what he preached about. That's what the Apostle Paul taught about. Let me show you a couple more. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And let's go through these quickly. Acts chapter 20. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. You have to read the context to see that. But Acts chapter 20, verse 25. And now behold, I know, in other words, Paul, I, Paul, know that ye all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. So Paul is visiting with some friends of his, and he's telling them, you're not going to see me ever again. But what I want you to see is this. That the focus I want you to see is what he preached to them. What he says, you know, I've gone among you preaching. What did I preach? The kingdom of God. What did the Apostle Paul preach? The kingdom of God. What did Jesus preach? The kingdom of God. What did he tell the disciples they were to preach in all the world? The kingdom of God. What did he tell his disciples when he was here on the earth, when he sent them out on preaching tours? What were they to preach? The kingdom of God. What was the last thing he talked to them about? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the center of Christianity. It's what Christianity is all about. It's what Jesus was sent to do. For this cause was I sent, to preach the kingdom of God. For this cause was I sent, to preach. It's the center. It's the core of Christianity. Hallelujah. And if we want to discover what Christianity is supposed to do, then we need to learn something about the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'm just reviewing what we talked about last year because I want to get to a certain point, but I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Matthew chapter 6, this is the prayer where Jesus prays the Our Father. And what I want you to see here is that in this prayer, we can see what the kingdom of God is. What the kingdom of God is. Let me show you something first, though, before we get there. While we're at it, let me say this. Listen, if you're not going to church anywhere, you need to be going to church. If you want to receive the things that God has for you in life, you need to be going to church. You need to be going to a church where you can be trained and developed and taught and grown up to receive the things that God has provided for you, to accomplish the things that God has created you to accomplish. So if you're not going to any other church, I want to invite you to come to Imperial Valley Christian Center. Imperial Valley Christian Center. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. We have fantastic children's ministry, wonderful music, but best of all, you're going to learn to receive the great things that God has provided for you through Jesus Christ. I really, really want to see you there. Sunday morning, 10:30. There's a little map here on the screen, shows where we meet. 1528 South Waterman in El Centro, the cafeteria at De Anza Elementary School. I really, really, really want to see you there. Okay, so before we get to Matthew chapter 6, I need to teach you something. Hallelujah. I need to teach you something about Jesus. Do you know that Jesus was a Jew? Do you know that Jesus was a Jew? In fact, Jesus was a rabbi. The Bible calls him. Lots of times people in the Bible call Jesus rabbi. Look, turn over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, let me show you that. You know, a rabbi is the minister for the Jewish people. You go to a synagogue and the head guy there, he's the rabbi. He's the one who ministers to the people. You know, we have pastors, we have ministers, Jewish people, they have rabbis. Look at this. This is the story of Nicodemus coming to visit Jesus. And it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. Now this is a guy who liked Jesus. And he's calling Jesus a rabbi. So that's the first point I need you to see, is that Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a rabbi. So if we're going to understand what he said, we're going to have to understand it in the context of him being Jewish and him being a rabbi. And one of the most important things you can learn about that is that Hebrews, Jewish people, when they spoke in Hebrew, they often spoke in parallelisms. Let me give you some examples here. The Hebrew people often spoke in parallelisms. In other words, they'd repeat the same thing more than once. They'd say the same thing, but they'd change it slightly the second time. Look here in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24. And look at what it says here. There is that scattereth and yet increases. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. There's two kinds of parallelisms in those scriptures. One, they say one thing, and then they say the opposite. And in the second one, they repeat the same thing two times. Let's look at the second one there in verse 25 of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. It says, the liberal soul, in other words, the generous person, shall be made fat. In other words, when you're generous, you'll receive generosity. When you're a cheapskate, you'll receive cheapskateness. You want to get rich, you want to get prosperous, you have to learn to be generous. The liberal soul, the generous person, shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. Can you see he's really saying the same thing two times? It's a parallel. In other words, the liberal soul, the generous person, he'll be made fat. He that watereth, wow, he'll be watered himself. He's saying the same thing in two different ways. That's in Hebrew, that's a parallelism. That's a Hebrew parallelism. Let me show you a couple more here. What am I talking about here? You need to understand this idea of parallelism because I want to show you what the kingdom of God means. But if you don't understand how Jesus taught as a Jewish person and as a rabbi, you'll see exactly what the kingdom of God means and you'll miss it. You'll read it aloud. I'll read it aloud to you and you'll miss it completely because you're not looking at it through Jewish eyes. You're not hearing it with Jewish ears. One of the things you need to look for when you're reading the Bible is these parallelisms. What am I trying to show you? I'm trying to show you this Jewish practice of parallelisms so that when we see Jesus doing that same thing, you'll understand what he's doing. And that's going to help you understand what the kingdom of God means. What is the kingdom of God? We've seen that it's the center and the core of Christianity, but what does it mean? And in order for you to understand what it means, I first got to show you how Jewish people taught, how rabbis taught, and they use this teaching method of parallelism, where they repeat things. One time they'd say it one way, and then immediately they'd repeat it a slightly different way. And they'd say it this way, and then they'd say it that way. Sometimes they'd say one thing, and then immediately they'd say the opposite. And they're comparing the thing. They're repeating the thing. And those things are called parallelism. So let me show you here one in Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Can you see? Those are both saying the same thing. If you keep your tongue from evil, you keep your lips from speaking guile. If you keep your lips from speaking guile, you keep your tongue from evil. That's a parallelism. And I want to show you one of those that Jesus used, which is going to help us clearly see what the kingdom of God means. But unfortunately, I'm out of time. I'm not finished. So come back next week. I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Greg again. Before I go, I want to invite those of you who enjoy this program to write us and let us know. Let us know that this program is helping you, that it's encouraging you, that it's building you up. It helps us to hear from you. It encourages us. We encourage you. And when you write back to us, it encourages us. It helps us. It lifts us up. It motivates us to keep doing and to do more. And those of you who can't, help us with the cost of this ministry. Send us an offering to help us pay for this TV time, for the production cost, for the stuff that we're doing in Mexico. We have TV programs on in Mexico. We're one of the few American ministries that actually is broadcasting in Mexico in Spanish. And we hear tremendous reports from people about that all the time. So if you can, write to us. Send us an email. Call us up on the phone. Let us know that this program is helping you. And while you're at it, ask for the book we're offering right now, The Believer's Authority. It's going to help you. It's going to build you up. It's going to help you to receive the things that God wants you to have in life. We offer it absolutely free. Just write for it at the address you'll see on the screen in a second. I really, really want to hear from you. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.